time we introduce imagery of militant actions, we have an opportunity for both amazing endurance and destructive misinterpretation. It's no surprise to anyone here that I'm not a fan of violence as a solution, and I'm sure for some that will put a slant on how you hear what I have to say this morning. I hope that you'll still hear me out, maybe understand the importance of the perspective I'm sharing here. Today's message from Ephesians is clearly one of those images. It introduces a clear enemy in the devil. It shares a picture of a world filled with forces of darkness and powers of evil. It provides a military image of putting on armor and taking up a sword. And it has been misused to justify substantial protectionist discrimination for millennia in the process. From the Crusades to the Salem witch trials, from the Spanish Inquisition to Christian support of slavery, people from each generation have taken liberties with this text to move forward an agenda they were convinced was God's vision. And yet every time they failed to take the passage in full and to apply it in the order that it's presented. To understand the full scripture, we need to understand just what is meant by spiritual warfare, the importance of defense before offense, and how to apply the gifts and talents we are blessed with in the wisest way possible. Let's start with spiritual warfare. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. This may be the toughest part for us to comprehend as human beings. Too often in history, people have focused on the devil being a specific person or group of people. After all, how can we stand against the tricks of the devil if we can't identify who the devil is? But here's the thing. We're told clearly that this isn't about a human enemy. Instead, it's about forces of cosmic darkness and spiritual powers of evil. We absolutely know that evil exists in our world. We also know that we need to counter that evil with everything God has equipped us with. But that evil so often exists in an ideology, not in a person. Sure, there are leaders who take on a persona that seems to embody evil. But when we look further, we find that the person is just a small part of the true evil being fought. As we witness the destruction throughout history of leaders who guide their followers toward genocide, terrorism, enslavement, and abuse, we immediately gravitate toward taking out that leader to shut down the threat. But the problem with that thinking is that even if that person is killed, the ideology lives on in the minds of others. And as long as that ideology has credibility with any group, you will never truly shut down the harm. Only when the ideology has been fully discredited will the destruction stop and the healing begin. Violent responses affect human enemies, but do not impact spiritual powers of evil. Because the battle in this case is spiritual and not physical. A different mindset is needed. Spiritual powers of evil manifest themselves in sin and even spiritual death, which are a battle within ourselves more often than against an external foe. We need to assess what ideologies exist within ourselves. Examine them closely and determine whether or not they are aligned with the gospel given to us by God. When they are not, that is the battle we need to engage in. So how do we act in response to a foe that is not physically embodied in a person or small group, but actually lives inside of each of us? It starts with understanding the lessons given to the Ephesians in this letter. in that time. Christians living in Ephesus were amidst a pagan community. Even those not directly persecuted by the Romans were at the very least harassed and discriminated against. So to not just survive, but to live their lives as faithful Christians, they needed some idea of how they were supposed to act. In terms of actions, the order of the words here are important. We are presented with a defense before offense strategy. We're taught to pick up the armor of God and put that protection on before we're given the word to take the sword of the Spirit. We need to be fully dedicated, all in on truth and righteousness, peace and faith before we have the right to use the sword of the Spirit. The first piece of armor mentioned, the belt of truth, may be the piece most directly under attack in our current day and age. It's blatant and in our face every day. All it takes is for someone to brand a piece of information as fake news, to proclaim truth isn't truth, or the latest, you won't believe what happens next, clickbait on social media. And the truth is now no longer transparent and in full view. It's been removed from our armor. We need to get it back. If we don't, we end up using the sword of the Spirit without knowing who truly should face it. This isn't an issue limited to a political leader, a political party, or an extremist group either. Removing the belt of truth happens across all viewpoints, in all locations, for wholly different purposes. Given that, how in the world do we even find the belt, let alone put the belt on? We can start with God's word, which as Christians we put our faith in. If we need to know where to turn first, that's where we begin to look for answers. After that, we do our own independent research on the issues that matter the most. If we look for information that takes both sides of an argument, learn from them, and then match them up to God's word. We press for the pure facts, not interpreted by someone editing how they are presented, and come to an understanding of them. When we have the facts, and they align with God's world, and they feel balanced, we put on the belt of truth to shield us from propaganda and editorial influence. What about the breastplate of justice? Again, we need to use the word of God as our guide. The gospel is clear. We are to come to the aid of and defend a world of prayer, kindness, compassion, peace, hope, and love. If something is trying to tear that down, that's where we need to embolden ourselves. Over time, scores of imprisoned Christians put on their armor to ensure their hardships by engaging in prayer, having compassion for those who put them in jail, and asking God to turn their hearts. Anytime we witness injustice against God's plan for the world, we need to be able to identify it and act on it. Sitting silent on the sidelines means we haven't put on our full armor. But in our efforts for justice, we need to always ensure it's God's justice that we are seeking, not human definitions of justice. Then there's the shoes that spread the good news of peace. Peace? Putting on armor? Yep. We're called, as shown by Jesus, that the path we are to walk is one of peace. The armor we're putting on is designed to enable us to stand firm in our faith. We've had amazing examples walk that path before us. Martin Luther King Jr. was an outstanding witness. His ministry was not one of violence. And in fact, he often listened, considered alternative viewpoints, and debated with words, not might, to reach toward a common vision. His armor was solid. And his message for driving toward the mission Jesus gave us of love and grace for those around us continues to be one we need to strive for today. Then there's picking up the shield of faith. A shield so strong that as sin tries to attack you from within, it will defend you and keep you focused on God's kingdom, not on human kingdoms. Faith only grows as we engage in a deeper relationship with God, through praying more frequently, through reading and learning from the Word more often, through hearing the Word in church each week, and then giving thanks to God for the blessings we do receive in our lives. The greater we trust in God's plan over human plans, the better equipped we are to stand against the devil's tricks to deceive us. It's only when we have an understanding of the truth, knowledge of what God defines as injustice, adopt a mission of love and grace, and place our complete trust in God, that we are prepared then to extend the sword of the Spirit. It's only then that we are equipped to share the gospel with others, hoping that we can help them find and put on their own armor. And each time we contemplate picking that sword up, we must pray that God will place the right message on our lips and give us the confidence to share it openly. Let's pray. Creator God, you have made each one of us for a purpose. But you don't leave us without the tools to fulfill that purpose. You have given us what we need, the belt of your truth, the breastplate of your justice, the shoes of your gospel, the shield of faith in your presence and protection, and the helmet and sword of your word, given to bring about your kingdom here on earth. Grant us the wisdom to know where to find our armor. Grant us the strength to put that armor on. Grant us the hearts that anchor all we say and do in your gospel, and grant us the power of your Holy Spirit that deepens our faith as far and wide as your love reaches. Be with all believers in our community, in our nation, and in our world, enabling us all to stand against the tricks of the devil and to live out our lives faithfully to your call each day. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who gave us visions to see and words to hear in order to know our own armor and to wear it all the days of our lives.